at 6:20. This is KERA News. I'm Justin Martin. Senator John Cornyn is on the Trump administration's short list of possible replacements for FBI Director James Comey. Cornyn issued a statement that did not entirely shut the door to the idea, but he says the main focus is serving Texans in the U.S. Senate. The Republican has previously served as Texas Attorney General, a Texas Supreme Court Justice, and a local judge. Kylan Moore is graduating from TCU this weekend. KERA profiled the football player and Fulbright scholar last year. Moore grew up in California and was homeless at times. Recently, he told NPR's Michelle Martin about playing football helped him find role models. But playing football at a Division I school was an even more personal decision.
My father is in life or prison for murder, and I told myself I would never stop playing football until he could see me on TV. So, you know, I did that through eventually transferring to Texas Christian University.
Moore is now a Rhodes Scholar. He'll head to England to study at Oxford. Moore told NPR he credits much of his success to his mother.
She always had a mindset that even though we live in the hood will not live in us. So it gives her confirmation that she did raise us right, that, you know, I was right.
Among other TCU graduates this weekend is Carson Huiyu, the youngest person to ever graduate from TCU. He's 14, and he'll receive a bachelor's degree in physics. This week, Think has been broadcasting from NPR in Washington. Today, Chris Boyd wrapped up the week talking with Juleka Lantigua-Williams, lead editor of NPR's Code Switch team, about reporting on race, identity, and culture.
What we tend to do is avoid explaining things. Just ask better questions. Don't come to Code Switch if you want an answer that fits neatly in a paragraph. We're not good at those. What we're good at is getting you to think about things in a way that are not obvious, but that are not easy, right? And so people might have conversations about their comfort level related to race, but we just assume it's uncomfortable, and then we move on from there. So we don't even have to talk about the comfort level. How do you get to a point where everyone has an opportunity to be heard? We assume everyone who's in the conversation wants to be heard, and more importantly, wants to hear. If you're listening to us, we expect that you want to be put in a place where your intellectual rigor regarding what we're talking about is tested. If we have done that for you, then we've done our job.
This episode of Think re-airs tonight at 10. You can listen to all of the Think in D.C. podcast at think.kera.org. 3 years ago, when the Dallas Museum of Art acquired the Kier collection of Islamic art on an extended loan, it made international headlines. The Kier is one of the great private collections of Islamic art. Now the DMA has devoted a new gallery to the collection. Art and Seek's Ann Bothwell and Jerome Weeks talks about it in this week's State of the Arts.
Jerome, we know the Kier collection is a very big deal. It has 2,000 items, and it spans some 13 centuries, and we've seen some of it already. There was a show 2 years ago at the DMA. So what's important about this new exhibition?
Well, setting aside the artworks themselves for the moment, what's significant is that the DMA has set aside a gallery entirely for the Kier collection on the first floor for the next 12 years when the loan is up for renewal. That's an important commitment. That's giving over a prime location. It's not a big gallery, but it's been beautifully laid out by Jessica Harden, the head of exhibition design. There are 150 artworks in this show, and normally that means a big show. But all of these have been slotted into this lovely, slender, bone-white space. It's very simple, but very sophisticated.
A major reason they can put 150 pieces into that gallery is the size of these artworks. They're all fairly small, and they're everyday items. They're like books, pottery, you know, jewelry, rugs. But some are really tiny, and the layer of detail that they have is astonishing. The DMA even provides magnifying glasses just so you can see the fine gold threads in the rugs, or how beautifully detailed the illustrations are in the books.
I like to tell people, imagine the richest, most elaborate Persian rug you've ever seen. All those paisley swirls spread out across the floor. Now, imagine all that, but it's only about 2.5 inches tall. That's what a single enamel belt buckle in this exhibition looks like. It's like a micro-sized Persian rug. That's the kind of craftsmanship here.
You mentioned the Persian rugs and the patterns. That's something else that really struck me. The exhibition is organized according to different items. We start with books, we move to ceramics, then there's metalware. We even go from the 9th century all the way through the 17th century. Yet I noticed that we constantly see the same patterns, the same figures repeated over and over.
It's a chief reason that Keir Collection, for all its size and range, actually has a certain coherence. It's the continuities in Islamic art across continents, across centuries. Some of the geometric patterns are actually quotations from the Quran. That means the Quran itself is embedded in these designs. You talked about these pieces as practical items, which they are, lanterns and rugs. But those patterns of quotations mean their owners went about their daily lives surrounded by the Word of God.
Did you have a favorite at the show?
I think perhaps some of the books.
I think mine was this beautiful, tiny gold pendant of a bird. It's barely an inch tall.
And that may be another religious reference. The Quran depicts paradise as a garden. So all these floral motifs and images we see can be just images of birds and trees. But they can also evoke this more perfect garden, which is something we need to point out. This is Islamic art, and that represents a remarkable commitment from the DMA, given our current political climate, both here and in the Middle East. It's also a commitment that makes sense. More Muslims live in Texas than in any other state. A year ago, I was in a cab on the way to DFW and learned the driver was Muslim. So I told him, oh, I've visited the mosque, meaning the big one in Richardson, the Islamic Association of North Texas. And he said, which one? There are more than 20 just in the immediate Dallas area.
Well, I think we both agree that the new Keir collection at the DMA is a welcome and beautiful addition.
Yes. I'm surprised we agree too.
Thanks, Jerome.
It's a pleasure, Anne.
This week, we've been remembering Bob Wilson, who led KERA during the late 1960s and early 70s. He died last Friday after a long battle with Alzheimer's disease. He was 75. Wilson introduced North Texas television audiences to Jim Lehrer and Monty Python. He also launched this radio station. Tonight at 7:30, KERA-TV airs a documentary that explores Wilson's role at the station. KERA's Lee Cullum talked with Wilson about how he launched Newsroom, a nightly TV news program.
I had become friends with Jim Lehrer. I thought one of the things we could do was to have Jim come on every week or so. And so he started to do that, and that's when things began.
He called me and asked me if I would become a consultant to News and Public Affairs. And I said, well, great. Do you all do any News and Public Affairs programming? And he said, no, but we want to do some. And I'd only have to work 2 days a week, and it was perfect. And then, lo and behold, that had barely begun when Bob had an idea. San Francisco had a newspaper strike. They took all the reporters and the editors and the editorial cartoonists and all the people from the newspapers and put them on television every night.
And they looked like reporters. They didn't, you know, have makeup on. And it was a huge hit.
Funded by the Ford Foundation, the San Francisco Newsroom experiment would soon be expanded to other cities.
It was Bobby Wilson. Bobby said to me, he said, well, you know, what about trying Dallas? And I said, well, fine. So I wrote a proposal for the program for what we would do. It was called Newsroom. And because literally the program was broadcast from the newsroom.
The Ford Foundation was convinced and gave KERA the green light.
They gave you $500,000, and in today's dollars, it must have been about $4 million or more.
It was huge, and it was, you know, bigger than the budget we had for the whole station. And they gave us enough time so that we could get the audience. And pretty soon we were part of this city in a way that many people really came to like.
The documentary Bob Wilson and the Early Years of KERA airs tonight at 7:30 on KERA-TV. It airs again Sunday morning at 10:30. You can also watch it at keranews.org. Mostly clear skies expected this evening. Should be a low around 60 tonight. Tomorrow, sunny with a high around 83. And tomorrow night, mostly clear, low around 63. It's currently 78 degrees in Dallas, 77 in Fort Worth, 76 in Tyler, 78 in Wichita Falls. It's 6:30. This is KERA News.